Right now on the phone, I am very happy to have Larry Sparks. Larry, how you doing?
Doing fine, Steve. Doing fine. Good to talk to you today.
Yeah, man, it's good to hear from you. How's your weather down there?
We've got a beautiful day, southeast Indiana. It's a beautiful sunny day and a little snow on the ground, and we've had a good freeze out, and we needed that, you know.
Yeah, that's right, to get everything started over again. I agree with you. I guess I'm probably not that far from you. I'm in that tip of northern Kentucky there, so we're probably close to the same lines across the country there. How, so
got a little skip of snow laying around, but that looks good to me. And
we hooked up again recently because I know you're coming up here, but before we get to talking about what you're going to do in this area, I think I've had most of your most recent things. I've been playing tunes from it, and I believe Almost Home, is that the most recent one that I've got my hands on?
Yeah, Almost Home is the latest album, the newest thing I have out. That was on Rounder Records, and they put that out about a year ago.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been playing, just so you know, I've been on the air since 2 o'clock our time, and I've been throwing a lot of your stuff out there, so everybody
can
get their chops all ready for you to step in here and just chat for a while. And that's all we do.
Yeah.
Just talk about whatever you want to talk about. It's fine with me.
I think that Almost Home album actually made me about around 60 albums that I have recorded.
No kidding.
Career. Yeah.
Is that as a band leader or just on different bands that you play?
No, as my own albums. And then I did, I recorded 3 albums with Ralph Stanley and, 5 albums with Ralph, I think it was, back in the late 60s. And you remember Curry Ray Klein?
Oh, sure, sure. I've got one of his albums lined up in here once in a while. From that album he did on himself with I think Ralph wrote the liner notes, but Curly did an album, had a lot of coon dogs running around on it.
Yeah, I think it's called the Old Kentucky Fox.
That's exactly right. I got it in my set here.
I played the guitar with him on that one. I guess I've probably been on, I don't know, 65 or 70 albums since I've been living my career, you know.
That's a lot of them, and they're all fine and solid.
Well, you look back, Steve, and you see, I should have done this. Maybe I should have did it this way and that way, but a decision has to be made, and it might not be the best decision, but you got to draw the line and go on, you know. You'll record forever and never get through with it.
Well,
you just got to go on.
Man,
you make bad decision on, you make a good decision. Decision has got to be made.
Larry, you've drawn a pretty fine line, I think, and it's very strong, and it leads a nice trail back to all the good music you've done and the music you're going to do. And buddy, you need to step back every once in a while and pat yourself on the back for what you've laid out there and what you're doing right now. Because
I really can't reach my back. I was top of my shoulder. It's hard. So I don't know if I can do that.
You can find someone to pat, but you can get someone to pat your back every once in a while.
I'm going to see if, maybe Pam will give me a pat on the back.
You know what? Something that, and every once in a while, I think that, and maybe I'm wrong on this, and I love seeing you sing and play, and your bands are this. Number one, you put on the stage, let's talk about live music for a second. You put on the stage a professional band. You put on a show.
Well, that's the way we try to do it. That's just natural for me. I guess came out of the old school thing, you might say. And, we always try to make my stage music look like a show, you know. And it is a show. And you need to make it look well as making it sound your best.
Well, and that's probably where I was leading up to, and I know, of course, everybody knows your long history, but you do come from that era of the bluegrass performer and the band that people were coming to put on a show, and I still sense that you feel that obligation and that need to put on a show because that's what they're coming out to see live.
Well, you go out on stage, you just be yourself, but look like a show and look like a band, I think that it upholds your music as well as your talent. Your look upholds it. You know, we need all the uphold we can get in this bluegrass business.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, we're in a battle, you know, and we got to uphold it. But, you know, sometimes you feel uncomfortable, you know, certain places you play, and you know, maybe with a suit on or something. But I've always wore suits and ties on stage. I've always had almost every show I've ever played. And I feel comfortable doing that.
Well, I think that's part of it. You're used to what you're used to doing that. In my regular job, Larry, I'm a lawyer, and people say, how do you wear coats and ties? Well, I've done it for 35 years. That's what I wear all the time. You know, just so you get used to it. It's part of your job.
Well, it's part of it, and it makes you look like a lawyer.
Well, and I feel like I must be doing something important because I got this tie on my neck, which I would never wear, but for the fact that I'm working, you know.
Believe me, I don't wear them either when I'm off work. You know, it is a business, and you got to take care of it and make it look like a good, a nice stage. When the people are looking on stage, I really think they want to see something different. You know, that they want to have a different look, a style that they can see as well as the music. So that's the way I feel about it.
Well,
and some people may not care about it. I don't know.
Everybody does things differently, but I do think that you're certainly from that era where when you went out on stage, you were there to put the Larry Sparks Band show on in front of a bunch of people who wanted to come and see you perform.
That's right.
I mean, you know, you can be informal if you want to, and I know from having seen you a number of times that, you know, things change up or things, you know, go a little different. You got to roll with the punches but for the most part, you're there and you aren't making up a set list as you go, correct?
I never have done that. I might try that someday. It might work better. I don't know. I always know what I'm going to play the first, or maybe the first two songs. Usually the first song we'll know for sure what we're playing. But after that, Steve, I don't really plan anything. I do everything off the top of my head. And nothing's planned. And I make mistakes. And I fumble a little bit along. But I can jump in there and straighten it out real quick, but I feel comfortable doing it that way, you know, on our festival dates and shows that we play. I feel comfortable just playing off the top of my head and going for it, you know. And while I'm singing one song, I'm kind of thinking ahead two or three, you know, and that puts it in place.
Well, and if you have a band that you're comfortable with, you know they're going to follow you right there, right?
They follow me, and they know when I hit one chord, or they've got used to me. They know what I'm doing. I don't know what I'm doing, but I guess they do.
I was making a comment earlier, Larry, in the first hour of the show as I was playing some of your songs, which are so many great vocals and so many great band. But I also threw in that you did a great version of a classic tune, instrumental, Carter's Blues. And I think that you know you're right there, and I can't remember all the players with you. I believe Tim Stafford was one of your albums where you recorded Carter's Blues. But I don't ever want anyone to forget that Larry Sparks can play a guitar as good as anybody standing up there.
Well, I try. I don't play as many notes as some people does, but B.B. King don't play as many either, and he's one of the best there is.
He plays what, five notes, but you try to play him with that effect and that touch, and it's a whole, that's a good analogy.
Yeah, it's what you do with it, and there's other fine guitar players out there and that I like to, you know, enjoy their playing, but my playing is different, and, some other players, and you can kind of, if you wanted to copy them, you could. But you can't copy Ralph Stanley's banjo playing.
No.
There's no way you could ever copy him.
Mm-mm.
No, nobody could copy him like he does.
No, and you want to have your own style. And I think, Larry, I guess that's my awkward way of getting to it, is you have your own style. It's a recognizable, it's a very good clean sound. Like you say, not a lot of notes, but I don't think it's because you're holding back. You don't want to play a lot of notes. I think you're playing what you feel and what fits. And, it's top flight picking, man.
Well, the way I also feel it is that too much music around a singer will hurt the singer. you know, if you got too much, if it's too busy, too much playing, too much, you know, going at it, it will destroy a good singer. So I like to keep that music at a low key and keep the lead boys out front and let them, you know, play when it's time for them to. And when they come in to do their breaks, the band, why, you know, they do, I tell them just play off the top of your head. Just go for it, you know. Just go for the feel and feel it and play it. That's the way you do it. Sometimes you plan things out. You'll work on certain breaks and you need to. But when you're on stage, just go for it. You'll make a mistake. Don't worry about it. Go on.
Just keep it going.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go on and keep it running.
It's funny here. Larry, by the way, every once in a while I need to announce people what I'm doing. This is Steve Martin on Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass, and we're very happy to be talking to Larry Sparks here. Larry, there's a chat room that's associated with this broadcast, and people come in and talk about stuff, and they've been waiting to hear from you. And one fella here has put your schedule up for the next, for the next several weeks here. It's kind of neat. Mm-hmm. Somebody's typed in your schedule for, they've got you playing in Nashville on the 31st at the Station Inn. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Well, this is pretty cool. And then they got you back up here. I'll be running out to see you out in Florence, which is in Boone County on the 1st of February. And that's at the Willis Music Store there in Florence in Boone County, Kentucky. And then listen to this. Someone's got your whole schedule laid out here. Uh-huh. And then on February 2nd, you're down in Clay Center at the Kentucky Meadow Green Music Barn, correct?
Right.
And then you're in Shepherdsville on the 16th of February at Kentucky mm-hmm. Salt Creek Bluegrass Festival. Mm-hmm. Then on the 23rd of February, they got you at College Park, Maryland at the DC Bluegrass Festival.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty nice. Right. And somebody, this is Barry Davis Sr. has plugged into the open chat room here and part of the show. Your schedule for the next month, that's pretty nice. I've never seen that happen before.
Well, we want to thank him for acknowledging our dates. We have. We appreciate that, and you know, it takes us all helping each other and working together with this music, you know. And we are in a different world, you see.
Yeah.
Bluegrass is a different world. When you step into bluegrass, you're in a different world than anything else. And we all must stick together.
Well, and you've been sticking together with that for a good long while, and people have been following you right along. By the way, this guy, Barry Davis Sr., I know he's listening because he just responded the fact that I read the schedule off. He said, mm-hmm. It's been a while since he saw you, but he keeps up with you, and College Park is near him, so maybe Barry Davis Sr. can get out and shake and howdy with you.
Great,
up
you
here.
Better come out and holler at me. That's right.
He says, amen.
Yes,
he says, amen, Larry.
Yes, sir. Yeah,
that's,
buddy.
That's kind of neat when we can cross these up. This is a newer thing for me. I guess I've been doing this for 4 or 5 months, and this mm-hmm. chat room thing just takes off on its own, and people get in there and type things back and forth. But usually they're listening, and they're usually. I tell you this: it's an intelligent audience. It's an audience that knows bluegrass that turns into worldwidebluegrass.com, and they want to hear.
That's what we want, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, and they pay attention, and when they know someone's coming up that they like. They tune in. Now, not everybody in the world is in this chat room, but they're out there listening. They can't always get near a computer, but to type everything in. But they're listening. Mm-hmm. So I know
that's
people have been waiting for you.
Good to hear that. I'm glad people are listening to you and acknowledges your show, and we appreciate it.
Well, we're making some headway, I think, and hopefully we'll just keep chugging along. And let's talk a little bit about, do you have anything new? We know Almost Home is the one that we're all talking about that's the freshest of what you put out there, the newest, let's say. Do you have anything else that's coming up soon?
Working on a new album. I'll be recording in Nashville at Hilltop Studio, working with Steve Chandler. He's a great guy to work with, and I'll be working with him in February doing our new album. And I guess it's going to be a 50-year album.
No kidding.
Yeah, and that's what Rebel Records is putting out. And it won't be released until probably mid to late summer, early fall, right in there of this year. That's when the album will be out. And I have one new song, has some guests on it, and back when we had the Larry Sparks 40 10 years ago, we had a lot of guests on that.
A lot, but, yeah.
You know, some country people and bluegrass people and different ones, you know. But this one will be more of a low-key, not as many people will be on it, and some bluegrass guests, you know, will be helping
well, sure.
with some things.
Larry, is the plan to bring in some tunes and some songs that you are associated with, or do you think you're just going to kind of mix things up as you go?
We'll do mostly new stuff, and probably 25%, maybe more, will be some older songs, you know. But we'll be at least half new, if not a little bit more, new material.
Let me ask you this. When you go into a studio, and we're talking about this 50-year album, you're talking about getting in there in February. How long at this point does it take you to record what you're going to be happy with to put an album out?
Well, if I've done my homework before I go to the studio and get it ready, have it ready, it usually takes about, you know, I'm going to say 2 hours per song.
Hmm.
And that's not counting the mix, the recording time around 2 hours per song. If you've done your homework, got it ready, and go in, you can figure about 2 hours per song. That's what with any overdubs you need would need to do, and that's pretty much what it takes me.
Well, I figure by now you got it down to science, more or less.
Around 24 hours, you know, 25 hours to record an album. Now, I've done a lot faster, but I don't like, you know, to go in and be rushed and try to get it done too quick. There's a lot of things that you don't know that you will learn. It falls in place, and maybe it'll change your ideals, you know, what vision you had. And you have to give a little time for that and let things kind of work its way in to the song, you know.
Well, the music is sort of an organic thing, I guess, if I can use that term. So you kind of got to let it breathe and figure out where you're going. But you're saying that on an average, 2 hours a song ought to be what you need to start working with.
Yeah, if you've done your homework and got it ready.
Yeah.
It usually takes, you know, when you get set up, sound check, everything ready to roll, it usually takes me around 2 hours per song. That's the longest it would take me, if that.
This is funny, Larry, as I look back down at this chat room where Barry Davis Sr. is still typing. He now has your schedule all the way out through July.
Well, you have a lot of dates that haven't come in for us yet, and not been 100%, you know, firmed up. So everything is not on there. It's not on there.
Well, when you get near College Park, you need to make sure you find Barry Davis Sr. because I think he wants to do some advance work for you.
Well, we'll put a watch out on him.
He's just typing his fingers off here, man. Yeah, he's just going to town.
There's a lot of good bluegrass people out around D.C. and Maryland, and there's some really good fans out there. And they'll stay with you, man. They're all through that country.
Why do you think it kind of there's that real strong, like you say, that real strong section there and around Washington and the East Coast? Why do you think that happened?
Well, if you got Baltimore and D.C. and the edges out over in Lancaster, PA, and on down south, a little north, a little east, and you've got one big circle out there, man, it's good. You know, I mean, I would say looking at Baltimore on the map, if you circled a 100-mile area around it every way, that's where the biggest fan base is, I think.
Well, what got it centered there? Why did it happen this? I mean, I know the old days of the Seldom Scene and those things and some of those bands that came out before them, but why is it so strong in that area? I've never quite understood that. You might.
Here's what I think, Steve.
All right.
We're on down south about 300 miles from Baltimore or 400, and you're going to get into the mountain country, North Carolina, Virginia, over in the parts of West Virginia. These people years ago migrated to Baltimore, just like they migrated from Kentucky to Ohio.
Right. Okay.
And, you know, and they all settled there, and this music was, you know, it was part of them in the old time music, and it just kind of bred it over to the generations, you know. And I think that's a lot of it. Then you had people with bands, you know, that would play in that area that would pick it up and keep it going, and just some things combined that makes it work. Now we have new people.
And they, and they grew up there listening to it, so they've kind of just kind of latched on, I guess.
And they took on to it too, you know. And the same way with crossing the bridge in Ohio. And, you know, people came here, and now Ohio is a southern Ohio, and Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton.
Oh, yeah.
It's all a hotbed, northern Kentucky, all that circle,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, they all left and went to build cars.
Yeah. So
that's you know, why it's so strong up in Middletown.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Well, this is good. I'm just pleased to get to chat with you, and I don't want to keep. I know you got a lot going on. I do appreciate you getting back with me, and I'm not trying to rush you off, but I know you're a busy man. And
glad you called. It's nice to talk to you. Appreciate you having me on.
I will be out to see you on February 1st, and this is the Willis Music Store on Mall Road in Florence, on Boone County, Kentucky. And I'm looking for a great show, and looking forward to shaking howdy with you again and catch up and just see what's going on. And man, it's just so nice. So nice of you to take the time to hook up with us. I appreciate it so much.
I enjoyed it. I was looking forward to it and talking with you and see all the people listening to you. Come out and see us.
There's a bunch. Like I said, I'm not trying to run you off, but I know you got a lot going on, and I appreciate you taking the time last week to hook up and say, let's do this. So, we appreciate you, man, here at Worldwide Bluegrass. We just appreciate the heck out of you.
Thank you very much. Anytime, love to do it again. Just let me know.
Hey,
be more than happy to talk with you.
When you get, if not before, but when you get this 50-year deal in the can, and you want to talk about it, let's hook up and we'll talk about it.
Let's hook up. That should be, around late summer.
Okay.
Early fall when that comes out. We'll hook up and, be glad to.
All right, man. Hey, listen, I appreciate you calling in, and we'll talk to you later. Thanks so much, Larry Sparks, for coming to Worldwide Bluegrass. And man, just go on about your business now.
Thank you, Steve. All right,
dude. There we go. That was Larry Sparks. That was fun. Gosh, how do you top that? Larry Sparks calling in to all the stuff that he's done. He's got his 50th anniversary album coming up, and, that's a class guy. He made sure he was by the phone, and I called him right as he was about to call me, and nice fella. I believe he'll be on the network tomorrow around the same time. I think he's Larry's available to get free time to talk about what he's doing, and he's right. Everybody kind of has to stick together, and nice man, and some of the comments in the chat room are just amazing, the stuff that's been flying through there. I appreciate you, Barry Davis Sr. I can only read with one eyeball, but you know, Larry Sparks is one of the best ever, man. And we'll get him back in when he gets his 50th year done. And you are still listening to Steve Martin's Unreal Bluegrass on worldwidebluegrass.com.